calling. Now don't look to us. Phony Beatlemania is bitten the dust. Welcome again to College Talk Extra Time. I am Russ Goldman, and co-hosting with me today will be David Hulley. In this episode, we'll be looking back at the disappointing 2-2 draw for Fulham against Charlton Athletic at the Valley. We have much to get through, and again, this is a very disappointing result. A point to point, you'll take the point, but this is definitely 2 points dropped in a very dramatic way. And I'm disappointed. I'm sure my co-host is disappointed, so I'm going to bring him on right away. David, how you doing?
Yeah, no, disappointed is certainly one word you could use. I mean, I was furious early. I was really angry. Literally, the moment the final whistle went, I was called downstairs for lunch. And with about 10 minutes, I've been sent back up to my room with my tail between my legs. And I've been here all afternoon, sulking, locked in my bedroom. I was very rude to a guest, unfortunately.
That's not good.
The Corley Woodrow fan club. He's got a friend who's always round our house. Every day he's round our house for some reason. And every time I get to the dinner table, he's there. And unfortunately, he was on the receiving end of my anger after that result today. And I apologise to him slyly, but I said to him, don't you have a home? Doesn't your mum know how to cook? Is there something wrong with her cooking? You know, am I running an effing restaurant here or something? So... I've been told off anyway, so...
Okay, I hope you apologise after
that. Rude to a teenager. After that, but I'm afraid I was just so angry by what I saw today after, you know, obviously how we let a very comfortable, seemingly comfortable match and result slip in the last few minutes yet again.
It's crazy, David. You know, I was trying to think of situations that have come up in the past that reminded me a little bit of this. The match I went to, a little bit, but not really. Again, I went to a draw at Reading when it went back and forth at the very end, and they, you know, again, they blew it at the end, and it ended up being a draw. But this is obviously much more dramatic, and it hurts. But it also makes you look at why. I'm asking the question, why did this happen? Why have we given up goals late? And this isn't the first time. And, you know, this season, I'm talking specifically this season, what is the common denominator? What is going on that the players are losing focus, that for whatever reason these situations keep coming up? Again, goals on free headers, David, again, you know, and like you mentioned, very comfortable, you know, and I think that's also the disappointing part of this. And I can understand Kit on this part being disappointed along with the players, because they had an opportunity to put this team away. They didn't. And that's what happens when you don't put a team away, when you don't get that third goal. Unfortunately, this does happen. And it's just very disappointing, David. You know, again, right afterwards, I was very angry, very upset. And as I could see on social media, everyone was upset. So I thought, you know, why not? Let's do the show now. Let's get out our thoughts on this. Let's vent a little bit, but let's just talk about it. Let's try to figure out what went wrong. So just share with me your opening thoughts of what we watched today.
Well, we nearly started very badly, obviously. Jazz Richards was beaten, lost his man in the first 30 seconds, and thankfully the guy put it wide. It was a bit like that Brentford miss. I thought maybe it's going to be our day. When I say Brentford, what am I talking about? See, like, scramble, the QPR miss. Sorry.
Guy
was through and without much pressure to put it the wrong side of the post. I thought maybe it's going to be our day. And in the main, you know, we controlled the game. I mean, the commentators were commenting on how, you know, Charlton needed to get hold of O'Hara because O'Hara was running the show.
He was.
And you know, it wasn't really a surprise when we went ahead. You know, it was good to see Tony Cliff get his first goal. And something I think we noticed, there was a distinct sort of shakiness for their goalkeeper as well. And I think the players are aware of that, because I've noticed they've tried to take long shots as much as possible, or more than often.
That's a good point, David. Good point.
Yeah,
Go ahead.
I mean, he's made quite a good save from Jazz Richards, but then from O'Hara, you know, just a minute or two later, he's almost let it squirm under his body. Then with the free kick, he's going to be upset about that, obviously, the way it's... He's pushed it straight back out. He's been knocked in. And, you know, he looked very nervous, their goalkeeper. They looked quite nervous, really. And we really were in control. Second half, I think, they had a little bit of a better spell, but then when we got our second goal, we really looked very comfortable. They looked a broken team. It was really just a match of holding the game out or even scoring more to really seal it. And then we just saw, I don't know, some, for me anyway, not everyone, I think Yavor, our friend Yavor didn't agree with me, but I think most other people I've seen have questioned the substitutions, because around the same time as the substitutions, things started to change and things fell apart. And so they've got a goal out of nowhere. And of course, we're then under pressure. And in a match that we should have had, won, done and dusted, we're now holding on. And although we had further chances to score, we haven't. And of course, what happened has happened, literally at the very, very last kick of the game, almost. Of course, they got a goal. And again, you talked about common factors and stuff here. The only common factor through all of this is the manager. We've had different players, different defenders, different partnerships in defence. But we've conceded a goal from a corner and we've conceded a goal from a cross, which is the same as we've been seeing all season, really, and last season as well, with different personnel. And it's just not good enough. It really isn't good enough. And today is the absolute epitome of, of 2 points dropped.
Totally.
Someone, I think, put on Twitter, and this was, I actually did laugh because I thought this was really, because the charter manager thought they deserved a win. and he wins this week's award of the Russ Goldman Men in the White Coats Award, I think, if that's the case, because, he
I know, David. What match was he watching? I get it. I know.
I know. He's more deluded than the rest of us are for putting up with Fulham for all these years.
Good point. It's funny, David. I actually watched this video, and I'm thinking, was he at the match? I know he was the manager of the other team, but I'm thinking he really believes that his team should have gotten all 3 points. I totally disagree with him, David.
Well, the funny thing was, I did tweet it that, I don't know if you have the same camera feed as we do, but either the cameraman or the director, they had a crush on him because they couldn't stop filming him in the first half. They kept
all the time.
You're
right.
I'm trying to watch the match, and the camera keeps looking at him all the time. And the match is passing by, and they're like filming him. And filming is obviously a generic word. I know they don't use film as such, but if you know what I mean, I don't know if you had those same feeds as we did. But the camera was trained on him so much in the first half as well.
Yeah. Listen, it's funny you mention that, because until you said that, I was thinking the same thing when I watched the video. I was like, wow, Sky Sports is really focusing on him a great deal. And then he does this video, and I'm thinking, he really comes out, the first thing he says, we should have gotten all 3 points. And I'm thinking, I completely disagree with you, but you're entitled to your opinion on that. But I don't see it that way. I thought Fulham were the better team, but this is definitely 2 points drop. Fulham should have won this match. They didn't. And we're going to try to figure out exactly why. But again, what's interesting, and again, I will share this with you in a little bit, David. I want to go through the manager reaction with you and get your thoughts on what Kidd had to share. I watched the video, and then I've also read the reaction. They're very similar, so I'm going to read the quotes, and I want to get your thoughts on it. Because, I don't want to spoil it, but I have some thoughts on what Kidd had to share, and I know I have a feeling you will as well, but let's save that for a little bit. Let's now get into really talking about the match, but we have to start with the starting 11. So thoughts on the starting 11?
Well, one change obviously was we knew would be happening. We knew Kearney wouldn't be playing. I think it was probably the most obvious move to see LVC start in that position. So that was kind of completely expected. But the one that annoyed me was Teacher's Pet, a.k.a. Jazz Richards, walking straight back into the team. And had Fredericks been nowhere to be seen, I would have accepted it as being maybe because of injury. But with Fredericks on the bench, I'm thinking, well, if Fredericks is on the bench, he can't be that bad then, really. So I was annoyed that Richards came back into the team, because I thought Fredericks had looked much better in that position, both in terms of his defending and obviously what he offers going forward. And again, especially with LVC, although LVC's right-footed, again, he's not really a wide player as such. Like, just like Kearney, he likes to come inside as well. So you really do rely on having someone there who can overlap. But, I wasn't absolutely sure how fit Fredericks was. But I just, it was just ironic that, for me, Kit seems to, you know, his favourite is Jazz Richards, who will play all the time, and that annoyed me a little bit, really.
Okay, let me ask you. I want to ask you specifically about Richards and Fredericks. Again, Fredericks has only played with us a couple times. Do you think Full missed him today?
Oh, certainly from what he's offered going forward, yes.
Okay.
We didn't seem to offer as much, you know, in wide positions today on that side. Not that I saw. Although we did play, you know, LBC was out there a bit. He was tending to come inside a bit, and we didn't really get to the line as much. I've liked what I saw from Frederick so far. It just annoys me that if certain people seem to be able to walk back into the team. But I wasn't absolutely sure, obviously, of the fitness side of things. But then,
sure,
if he puts him on the bench, you know, he's got to be prepared to use him, I think.
I totally agree with that. And it's funny because, again, I'm going to be going through some of the key moments. One of them is actually a shot by Jazz Richards. He had a decent opportunity to score, David, honestly. It was a very good save by the goalkeeper. But again, that was a thought going through my mind. Obviously, he wasn't fit enough to start, but he was on the bench. So that's why I just wanted to mention it, get your thoughts on the differences, because they are different players, Jazz Richards and Frederick. So anyways, okay, so that now really gets us going, because I was talking about the starting 11. I'm just going to share just a couple key moments, David, and then we'll go right to the goal in the first half. And like you mentioned, I couldn't agree with you more. Fulham were lucky, because Connor McAlealy should have scored in the first minute. He missed wide, and he was off to the races and had a good shot, but he missed wide. Fulham were very fortunate at that point. Then Fulham actually had a couple of opportunities to score. Like I mentioned, Jazz Richards had a nice shot on target, and the goalkeeper did make a decent save here. And then only a couple of minutes later, Jamie O'Hara had an opportunity to score a nice shot. So, again, that sets up the situation where Fulham score in the 32nd minute, David. And you were mentioning you thought that the goalkeeper might have been unsure of himself. And honestly, I think this is where it really shows itself, because Ryan Tenenbaum scores from a rebound from a free kick shot from Ross McCormack. Talk about this. And again, this is really talking about taking advantage of your opportunity, and good for Ryan Tenenbaum for getting the goal.
Well, it was a well-hit free kick by McCormack, you know, but as a goalkeeper, you've got to do better than that. You really have. You've got, you know, if you're going to spill it, at least spill it out sideways or something, you know, push it away, push it behind. But if you spill it straight back out like that, that's what's going to happen. The ball's going to end up in the back of the net. You see, he's quite a young guy there, goalkeeper. And, you know, he seemed shaken by that. And after that, we were much more inclined to take longer shots or try and take longer shots. Although we didn't have many which were really kind of testing, we were at least trying.
Right.
But no, it's good, obviously, for Tunnicliffe to get his first goal for us. It's ironic that both goals actually had the same two kind of perpetrators, really. Both of them sporting ginger beards today for some reason, which is not something which usually is a typical fashion. But yeah, obviously McCormack's free kick for Tunnicliffe in the first place, and then the fortunes were reversed in the second half, of course. But
yeah,
no, nice for Tunnicliffe, in the right place at the right time, doing exactly what you should be doing, following up a free kick in case that happens.
Okay, very good, David. And the half ends with Fulham up 1-0. And again, I'm just going to share some halftime stats with you, because I want to get your thoughts on that. The stats make it look like it was a pretty even half, so I want to get your thoughts on what I'm about to share here. Again, possession, Fulham were at 51% to 49%, so it's pretty even. Total shots were even at 5. On target, we edged them at 4-2. Corners, they actually had one more corner than us, 2-1. Crosses, they had one more cross than us, 11-10. Attacking passes, again, we had a 111 to 96. And accurate passes were 205 to 197. Now, based on those stats, David, it looked like a pretty even first half.
I mean, we had a spell where I think our possession was higher than that. Obviously, overall, it's evened out. But the thing that obviously is, you know, for which is unusual for us, I suppose, we've had twice as many shots on target as they had. That's the most telling thing. So at least that shows, because possession, as we know, can be misleading. We've had games where teams would have had a lot of possession and done well, and then teams where you've had a less share of the possession, but you've still won the game. So it's not always the indicator to who's the better team. But, you know, we've had four shots on target to their two. So
yeah,
we've been getting into the danger areas at least for a change, which is a bit unlike us. But it was actually on Sky, I think they said that Fulham were the most accurate shooting side in the division. And that's probably based on the fact that we've scored quite a lot of goals, but we don't have that many shots per se. With some teams, obviously, and we've commented before that we haven't had very many shots in a match.
That's true.
But yeah, we've had four shots on target, which would be the Jazz Richards one and the shot from O'Hara, and I guess the one from, I suppose, would that be the one from McCormack and the rebound from
it must be.
Faneke,
yeah.
I guess, probably.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But that was for me, the most telling thing, that we've, despite it being fairly even, we've got into the areas where it hurts more than they have.
And that's a great point, David, because, again, even though the stats show us that it looks like it's an even match, I felt we were more dangerous, and I think you really described that. Fulham looked more dangerous in the first half. But now let's now go to the second half. And what's interesting here, and I've seen this too many times, the other team comes out strong, and Fulham look like they're going to go on the back foot. But, again, shot early in the second half by Ryan Tennacliff was a good sign for Fulham. Then Baugh had a shot in the 56th minute for Charlton Athletic, and Andy Lonergan made a save. Fulham actually had a very good opportunity, David. You'll remember this. 58th minute, Moussa Dembele had a shot that just goes over the net. Again, he just took a shot, again, from distance, which is good. I want Fulham players to be taking more shots from distance like this. Take their opportunities, because some of them could go in. So, again, this just went over the net. But shortly after that, we have the 59th minute. We have the goal by Ross McCormack that was set up by Tennacliff, but it was more than that. It was the build-up play that led to the goal. Talk about the second goal for Fulham, David.
Well, it was a kind of a breakaway, I suppose, really, because the ball had been up our end, and Tennacliff has got the ball into the left wing position. It's been fed through to him, and he's come along and he's kind of pulled the ball back, I suppose you'd say, really, for McCormack, who's finished very nicely on his left foot across the goalkeeper into the far corner.
Yeah, very good. Very nice goal by Ross McCormack. And David, like you mentioned, at this point, up 2-0, Fulham cruising at this point. But I want to ask you about this next situation that happened, because it's only a minute afterwards, and we're going to get into it. It was the substitution of Luke Garber for Ben Pringle. What were your thoughts about the substitution in the 60th minute?
I thought, what the hell is he doing? You know, what on earth is going on here? I had actually said if he needs to make a sub, maybe he should look at LVC, because I thought he was
having a bad game.
He's having a bad game, and he's got himself booked as well, and we don't want him getting sent off. Otherwise,
we'll
have no one to play on that side. So, but I thought Ben Pringle wasn't doing so badly. I thought he's a bit of a scapegoat. But the thing I thought is, well, what's going to go on? Who's going to play left back? Who's going to play left midfield? And hold on a sec, we've got Kakanicic on the bench, who is an out-and-out left midfielder. What is this saying? What message is being sent out here by putting on a left back to play left midfield when you've got a left midfielder on the bench? Why put Kakanicic on the bench if you're not bothering to bring him on, if you're going to put someone else out of position on there? And I thought, why is he making this sub? You know, what is the point of this sub? Obviously, he feels there's some need to make the sub because he wants to keep Luke Garber and Everton happy.
Right.
Because at that point, you know, don't mess around with the team. We've just gone 2-0 up. We seem to be bossing the game. Don't mess around with things. But this is a classic case of making changes where changes aren't needed. You know, we moan that he doesn't make changes when you do need changes. But at this point, don't mess around with the team. If you're going to make any change, yeah, I mean, maybe look at LVC. But otherwise, just leave alone for now. Just let us carry on and put the match to bed.
See, I totally agree with you on this substitution, because I'm always screaming, more substitutions. Why is he using his substitutions? But in this case, this one didn't make sense to me. And could the Everton situation, you know, wanting to please Everton be a factor? I don't know, but it's an interesting theory by you, David, because it makes you think, why would he make it? Let me ask you, was he thinking at this point, again, I'm not a kid, I don't know, I'm asking the question, if I have two basically left backs and one playing in the midfield, I'm really tightening things up defensively. Could his thought being that Garbutt would offer more defensively? I'm just asking the question.
But why would you want to be defensive when, you know, with Pringle, who's not a defensive player, we're now 2-0 up in that position, you know, and potentially more because they looked demoralised at that point.
They did.
Someone tweeted it was like men against boys almost, and you know, I think it almost literally was. So, you know, why make the change? But if he was going to make a change, you know, whether you like him or not, and I've been disappointed with Kaká's performances, but Kaká would be the straight swap in that position if you wanted to do that. Garbutt really is, you know, a straight swap for Husband if he wanted to do that, if he was injured or, you know, something else happened. But no, I mean, it was ridiculous. It was a ridiculous move, and it did nothing to help the team, and I'm sure it didn't do much either for Kakanicic either.
Okay, very, very good there, David. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about another substitution, because at this point, like you mentioned, Fulham are definitely on top. They're cruising, and Kit talks about that, and others have mentioned, you know, at this point, very comfortable. So then he makes the change in the 75th minute, takes off Moussa Dembele and puts on Colley Woodrow. Now, this is a typical change that Kit tends to make. He brings on Colley at one point. But David, was this change needed at this point? I'm just curious your thoughts on the second substitution.
Oh, it's so bloody predictable. It's all he ever does. It's just, you know, he's not going to take off McCormack. He's not going to take off certain people. It's just always the same people get taken off, Pringle and Dembele. Two easy targets, you know, and I didn't think we'd suffered that much, although it was a bit strange bringing on Garbutt, as we said. I think we were still doing okay, and then I think this, was the real turning point of the match. I thought Dembele was doing really well. He was being causing problems without, you know, having sort of direct chances to score, really, himself. I thought he'd been causing them some problems, and he was working well with McCormack and was holding the ball up quite well. And then, I don't know, he's just made this change again just because he feels he needs to do it or because he wants to keep Woodrow happy or whatever reason. There was no, you know, there was no tactical reason, really, in terms of play. You know, Dembele's a young man. He could manage 90 minutes, I'm sure, without any problem or a bit further. It was just a messing around just for the sake of messing around. And, you know, I wasn't really happy with him. I don't know why at that time, because normally you think, oh, well, you know, we're doing okay, give someone else a go. But I don't know. For me, I just didn't like it today. And it just, honestly, it proved to be really a turning point, because it was not long after that that they then went and got their goal and we were up against it. And it's just the whole complexion of the game changed.
Yes, and very good point by you, because it's only 6 minutes later. Charlton make a substitution. And his name is Johnny Jackson, and he comes on, and David, he scores on a header from a corner kick once again. Again, this issue that Fulham have been having keeps showing up. And this one, seriously, this one was very frustrating. I've watched both of these two goals that they gave up late in this match, and this one is very frustrating. Talk about the goal.
Well, the number five was at the near post. He's got a man on him, but for some reason, Stearman's gone to attack the ball and this guy as well. And I don't know if Stearman was on number four or if someone else should have been on him, but he ended up having a completely free head. It was a bit hard to see at first until I watched the replay, but yeah, the ball has missed their number five and our two men who was on him. And he's had a free header basically and off the bar from very, very close range and straight in. And it was his first touch of the game. He'd been on the pitch like 5 seconds. Now,
5 seconds,
know, that,
yeah.
That's how to make a substitution, Kit, I guess, if you need any tips, obviously, because this guy's, you know, they wouldn't have believed, you know, how effective that would be. I don't think anyone would have believed that they would have got that straight away like that. You know, the guy hasn't touched the ball with the foot. He's just headed it straight in, first touch of the game.
first touch, David, and that's what was crazy. He basically just comes on in and scores a goal, and as you know, as we all know, the match really changes now because now you're at 2-1, and they're going to be coming at you. They have the belief that they can get the second goal, and who knows, maybe they can get the winner, and they certainly were trying for the winner at the very end. And this is a team, David, and I'm thinking at this point, I cannot believe that it's 2-1 because we should have been winning this match comfortably. And we were, but we could not get the third goal. And then we have these situations that come up. Now it's 2-1. Now Fulham are really up against it. But the one thing I do want to mention before we talk about the very end is you did mention the substitution. Well, we both mentioned the substitution of Collier Woodrow. I want to give Collier Woodrow credit. David, he actually had a couple of opportunities to score late in the match.
Well, that was the thing, that although Charlton were revitalised by this, they still were looking vulnerable defensively, and we still looked like we'd go up and score.
Absolutely.
Corley had one where he probably could have done better, but he had one where he has shot, and it's taken a bit of a deflection. It was on target, and the deflection's taken it past the post. So could have been a goal, could have been a save by the keeper. But that was because, you know, we were still actually attacking and doing okay, and they were also pushing forward, so leaving themselves exposed a bit at the back as well. We could have still scored in that situation, and a goal then would have, I guess, would have killed the revival off.
Yeah.
But
yeah, and,
of course,
you know, and again, I have nothing against Collier Woodrow. You know, again, he works his socks off. He got himself into situations to potentially score, so he gave it a go for whatever reason. You know, again, you got to give Charlton a little credit. The more dangerous one, I want to say, in the 89th minute was blocked, so you got to give them a little credit. But he did, you know, he tried to do his job, David, so I want to give Colley some credit there because he did have a couple of opportunities. All right, David, right before, I want to mention this, right before the goal, the second goal by Charlton, again, there was that situation with Jazz Richards getting injured, and he went off, comes back on. And we only have a couple minutes left in stoppage time, but this is basically near the very end. I want to say in the 96th minute, we have the second goal from Jordan Cousins. And again, David, I've watched this several times. He has a free run into the box. I cannot make out the Fulham player. Again, the shot was, I'm talking about the camera shot was from distance, so I still can't tell who was the player potentially trying to cover him, but he covered him too late. By the time he realized that Cousins was there, like I mentioned, he was already heading the ball in the back of the net, and they got level at 2-2. Talk about this and what was going through your mind when you saw this happen.
Well, obviously, Richards, I thought Richards had a poor game in the main, but you have to give him credit for the last 10 or 15 minutes because he did some really good blocks and stuff and put his head in where it hurts, which led to that injury stoppage. But, you know, we also, another point in this final episode here was that we had both left backs on. We had two left backs playing, and the guy still got a cross in from the right, and Garbutt and Husband were out there, didn't manage to stop him putting a cross in. It was far too easy to put a cross in.
I agree.
And, I mean, I can't tell you either the answer to your question, but in that position, that would be where you would imagine Richard Stearman is, the kind of the right centre-back position. But in either case, someone should have been there. But it was far too easy, as you say. The guy just had a clear run straight in and a free header. And it was just, you know, I was fuming. I was furious. And it's just, I couldn't believe, you know, I've seen Fulham do this kind of thing before, but I couldn't believe we did it today because I just didn't think it was possible. Where I thought, no, this Charlton side is just not that good. And, you know, everyone keeps saying the same old things on Twitter, but it's true. You know, Wolves were in a rut, we gave them points. Sheffield Wednesday were in a rut, we gave them points. Charlton hadn't won or got a point for ages, we've given them point again today. We are the team to play that when you're struggling, come to Fulham and we'll help you out of it. It's just,
oh boy,
it's not good
that's
enough.
Terrible.
They were there for the taking, you know.
They were there for the taking, David.
And we could have been doing a different show here, and I'd have been giving Kit mediocre marks for saying, well, you did just about enough, Kit, because they were such a poor team. Anyone should have beaten them. That would have probably been what I've been saying, because I thought, you know, I wasn't happy he'd pick Richards, and I wasn't happy with the way he'd messed around with the substitutions. But I would have said, well, you know, they were that poor. You know, we had to win that game. But
yeah.
In the end, we didn't even manage that. You know, we've thrown it away, and, you know, to have lost the game would have been... To have lost the game, I would have expected him to be sacked on the spot, honestly, if, you know... If they don't do something with him soon, God knows what's going to happen, because it's just the same old all the time. Same old results. Doesn't matter who plays. Same situations, the same weaknesses all the time. We're just not getting out of this kind of spiral of things. And the way it's carrying on, we're not going to end up getting near the top of the table. We're not going to make the playoffs. It's going to be another wasted season. And that point is coming very, very soon, I think. It's not there yet. It isn't there yet. But if we keep making these same mistakes, conceding from corners, conceding from crosses, conceding late goals, giving up, you know, goals, making the wrong substitutions, not making the right substitutions, then it's a wasted season again. And say a defeat today, I think we might have seen him gone over the international break, but I'm not sure now, because the hierarchy seem very, very reluctant to make a change after all the turmoil we've had in the last couple of seasons.
Right. And what's interesting, David, because, again, I've been asked about this. Well, what are your thoughts about Fulham? And I got to be honest with you. After this match, Fulham are 13th now, David. And right now, if they go down this path that they've been going down, like you mentioned, giving up late goals, doing what – being inconsistent. They are incredibly inconsistent, David. Really, they are incredibly inconsistent. They cannot – they don't know how to win. I told you this off air. What is frustrating to me is they cannot figure out ways to win. They have to win these matches. You know, again, like I said, the QPR match is great because they're so far ahead. They really put the throttle down. But again, they still made me a little bit nervous, even up 3-0. They need to figure out how to win. And again, that's a problem, because if they don't start figuring out ways to win in tough situations, they will end up 13th. They will end up 12th. We don't want that, David. They don't want that. Kit doesn't want that. There are problems there that they need to really think hard and fast what's going on there during this international break and fix them. Whatever, you know, again, whatever the hierarchy feels, they need to think about what's going on here. I'm talking about from the ownership to Mike Rigg to Kit, everyone has to take responsibility for what's going on, have some honest talks, and figure out how we're going to fix it. And Kit needs to do some work on the training ground and fix these problems and work on situations and figure out the situations, because there is no excuse, David, for giving up the amount of goals they've given up on set pieces. There's no excuse for this. To see it again happen today on free headers, to continually see it on free headers, something's wrong, David. Sorry, I'm getting angry, but something's wrong.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, we talk about, well, I talked about their manager being needing the men in the white coats for what he said, but I think, you know, when we come to what Kit said, he needs it as well. It's going to be a toss-up for which one needs it the most, because Kit comes out with all these excuses, but we never seem to actually get to the nub of the matter, which is the common link in it all is him. I mean,
yeah.
I just found, it's actually just come up on Twitter, actually, what I was talking about. Fulham John said, Sheffield Wednesday hadn't won in 3 and then beat us. Wolves hadn't won in 4 and beat us. Charlton lost 4 in a row. We were 2-0 up and we still don't win. And, you know, and our friend Mike Gregg, who's over in New York, said, it's the old, are you in trouble? Do you need help? Then call the F team. You know, and there we are. We obliged. You know, we've obliged again. And it's just not good enough. It really isn't. And as you
it's
say,
not
you know,
good enough, David. And,
you know,
and
it makes me angry, very angry.
Yeah,
it,
listen,
you know,
I'm very angry right now. And, you know, again, because I see the same
well.
Problems week after week, match after match. And that's why I brought up the Reading match, because I thought that team under Yol, David, was incredibly inconsistent and gave up late goals. You have to ask yourself, why are they giving up late goals? And part of that is a reflection back on Yol. I'm sorry, David. Part of what's going on here, the players are to blame, of course, because, again, they have to do their jobs. But so does the manager. The manager needs to do his job. He needs to prepare these teams for these situations. I don't care how boring it is. They need to be drilled better than they are being drilled, because they keep on giving up these goals and that they shouldn't be, and especially late, which is even worse. It's about focus, David. This team is not focused enough. They don't know how to win. They need to start figuring out ways to win. And I am really, I'm just really angry. Anyways, before we talk about the manager reaction, I want to go through the full-time stats with you fairly quickly. Because what's interesting, again, the full-time stats make it look like it's a pretty even match, but I beg to differ on the stats being a total reflection on this match. Okay, the possession was even, 50-50. Total shots, Charlton actually had a little bit more, David, 21-18. On target, they had 7, Fulham had 8. Corners, they had 10, Fulham had 5. Here's a glaring stat, Dave, that changed from halftime. Crosses, 32 for Charlton, David. Fulham only had 18. Tackles, Charlton had 18, Fulham had 15. Attacking passes, Charlton had 208, Fulham had 218. Accurate passes, Fulham were at 365 to 363. Again, very even. And fouls were even at 8. Now, based on all that, it looks like a pretty even match stats-wise. But I still think Fulham were more dangerous throughout the match. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, we only had to look at those efforts near the end. We got into the box a few times. We had shots blocked, shots just deflected wide. The one from Musa you talked about, he's basically tried to place it in the top corner. You know, with a little bit better judgment and you know, maybe a couple of better decisions there, or slightly more accurate shooting, you know, the game would have been beyond them. They didn't have that quality of chances, not really. Most of their ones were, you know, fairly sort of, you know, comfortable for it. I mean, Lonergan didn't really have much to do. He had everything was that straight at him, I think. He had pretty much a few comfortable saves to make, whereas for them, you know, their goalkeeper had to spread himself and things. You know, you think about Jazz Richards, you think about the Corley Woodrow one, etc. And I think McCormack as well had another one. So the stats were even, but some of that was down to, you know, the madness in the last few minutes, obviously, where they have got back into the game, obviously, you know, in that respect. Because yeah. You know, we've suddenly let it slip. They've got almost a freak goal out of nothing from the corner, and then we've been back to the wall, and they've been starting to hit it long, and you know, they've almost sneaked through on a few occasions as well. You know, last minute sort of interceptions. You know, when we got from Stearman and from Richards as well there. Okay. And so yeah, but they I would imagine their stats have been bumped up from probably the start of the half where they were a little bit better, and then in the last 10 minutes where they've been pressing to get, you know, the equaliser and almost a winner.
But David, here's the thing. Our huge chunk of this match, Fulham were in total control. And what's interesting, because I'm going back thinking about the pre-match show that Emilio and I did, and what was interesting, I was going through the characteristics of the team, and all the characteristics that I read from WhoScored.com really showed itself in this match. The one that really showed itself was non-aggressive. This was not an aggressive team. This is a team that Fulham could actually control the pace, control the play, and they really did. Jamie O'Hara controlled the game. So when you're controlling the game, where you are totally in control, you need to put the team away, and they could not do it. And they do not have that ability, for whatever reason, to find a way to ultimately win, to get that third goal, to do whatever you can to get that third goal. And it's, you know, again, that's the troubling part of all of this. And what's also troubling is what I'm about to read to you. This is my opinion. I find these comments troubling, okay? This is the manager reaction. You can read it on FulhamFC.com. You can also watch Kit's interview on Sky Sports, which is pretty similar to what I'm about to read. Here are his quotes. Again, you can read this right on the Fulham website. Again, quote, this is from Kit. It's incredibly disappointing, Simons told the press after the match, to be 2-0 up in the game, totally dominant and cruising, and then to throw it away is inexplicable, really. We were cruising. We were dominating the game second half. We weren't in trouble at all, but we should have killed the game off. We had plenty of chances to make it 3-0, which would have finished it off. But we didn't take them, and we made some poor decisions. Then suddenly we've conceded from a set piece, a free header, and then another one later on. To have been dominating the game and then to draw it, it's not good enough. There's defining moments in games. The crowd was singing for Johnny Jackson to come on. He made an impact and gave them a big lift. and then took advantage of that while we shot ourselves in the foot. And then there's a little bit more talking about the opportunities in the match. And then here's another quote from Kit. Quote, "We should have seen the game out, and there's no excuses for not doing that," he said, Kit. "Two goals is something not enough. It's sometimes not enough, and that was the case today," talking about two goals for Poland was not enough. "We were so on top, but you've got to make that count, and we didn't. We had some lapses offensively and defensively at the end and caused ourselves our own problems. If we see the games out, that would have been 4 wins in 6, which is good form. I think we've been playing all right. It's just getting that little bit streetwise, seeing games out and getting what we deserve out of games. Today we deserved the 3 points, but in the end, because of our decision-making, we didn't get them." David, those are the quotes from Fulham manager Kit Simons. Your thoughts?
I think when he says we shot ourselves in the foot, he means I shot us in the foot. And when he talks about our decision-making, he means my decision-making. It's just like how the Queen talks in this country. You know, the Queen always uses, it's known as the royal we. You know, we are not amused, or we are proud to announce. It's the royal we. What he actually means is himself. Because it was his decision-making. I think my hypothesis of this is that it was his substitutions unsettled the balance and lineup of the team and led to our ultimate downfall. He shouldn't have messed with it. You know, taking off O'Hara maybe very much at the end as well, I'm not sure what that was about. O'Hara had been bossing the show, so unless he had an injury and he signalled he wanted to come off, again, that was messing around with things at the end. I mean, you know, everyone was lauding O'Hara, and he was obviously awarded Man of the Match by Sky. And that's what they said at halftime in the analysis, that Charlton have got to stop O'Hara playing. Otherwise, Fulham will walk away with this game. So everything that Kit says, I agree with, but I think that he's talking about himself, or he should be referring to himself or looking at himself. But
that's right,
David. My terrible fear is that he's not. Is that, in fact, that he thinks he's immune from all this, and it's actually the players he's talking about, and actually he's fine. That's what my big fear is.
David, my biggest problem with what I just read to you is what you just analyzed. I want Kit to take personal responsibility. Again, the players are responsible. He is responsible. Come out and say, you know what, I need to do a better job out there. My decision-making, like you said, needs to be better. We all need to do better, include everyone. And again, I know you don't know professional NFL, but again, my team, the New England Patriots, again, Bill Belichick would always put blame on everyone. He'd blame the coaching staff. He'd blame himself. He would take responsibility because it's everyone in it together. And whereas Kit did said the we, David, he also should have mentioned that he should be doing a better job because he's part of that we. The players are part of that we. His coaching staff is part of that we. He needs to do a better job. He needs to do a better job of preparing that team, and he needs to take personal responsibility for what happened today along with the players. I didn't get any of that on Sky. I didn't get any of that in this. That's what frustrates me. Show that you are a leader, Kit. Take responsibility for this game along with your players. Say, I didn't do a good enough job coaching, because you didn't. I'm sorry, David.
Watch out, the white coat men might still be lurking. Don't go too carried away.
Yeah, I'm sorry, David. I'm very frustrated by this. I'm very frustrated because this was an opportunity, a really good opportunity to put Fulham in a decent place. And now you've dropped 2 points, and that could come back to bite you. But it also shows where you are. Like you would always say, the table doesn't lie. And in this case, I agree with the table. They're 13th. That's what they should be. I don't want Fulham to be 13th. And they need to do something. They need to fix the problems. Kit needs to fix the problems that they're having. And again, it's, yeah, as I've said several times, it's a different sport, but this is situational football. Figure out why you're having breakdowns late in the match, Kit, and you fix the problems. You work on the problems. You work on the final stages of a match, and you drill in your team what they need to do to make sure these situations are handled correctly. That's my issue. You're in charge of Fulham Football Club. You need to fix the problems. And then the players need to react to you. You're in charge. I'm sorry, David.
Well, the interesting thing, the table doesn't lie, is apparently we've played more of the lower teams than the higher teams, someone was saying earlier. I don't know how true this is, but in fact, I think we have yet to play five of the top seven or something like that. So,
yeah.
In fact, we might actually be further down the table, if that's what it is. There's a chap, I don't know if you follow him, Reese Benjamin. Have you seen he's tweeted the adjusted for difficulty championship table, which shows you, I don't actually what it shows you, because there's no point in me trying to bullshit by telling you I know what it means, because I don't, because I've only just opened it up.
That's okay, David.
But yeah, it's the table, the league, actually, he says the league table lies, so straight away he's disagreeing with me. No good being in first place if you've played the bottom four teams without having played anyone good. Similarly, you're on 3 points and played only the top four, take heart from the fact you're not so bad. So basically, yeah, what he says is you've got to adjust the table to take into account who you've played. In this case, what he's saying is that we've played more lower teams than upper teams, and therefore we're actually in a higher position than probably we would be if you average it all out.
So
that's something worth... So that's what I want to look at. If anyone is listening to that, it's Reese Benjamin. His Twitter handle is at Mr. Reese Benjamin. And he has a lot to say for himself, sometimes too much, but that's where you get sometimes with these younger people on Twitter. But most of what he says is meant with good heart and good meaning, and he's trying to analyse and put some serious debate into it. And yeah, he's saying that the table does lie, which obviously the table doesn't lie at the end of the season, as we know. But yes, you can get these kind of, I guess, sort of mini situations where perhaps if you have a run of easier games, your position is higher than it might be or whatever. So that's worth looking at as well. But the point is, where we are in the table is where we are. And if we carry on against the better teams, our position is only going to be lower than it is now, not higher, really, if anything. And that debate we had the other day, I think, when you said about being promoted or middle or relegated, and I said I'm keeping all options open. Certainly all three options are still open, and including relegation, if we carry on doing stupid things like this.
Well, that option is closed for me. I know you have it open. You have all options open. I just don't see this team getting in a relegation scrap, but I could be proven wrong, David. We'll see what happens. But the last thing I want to say before you rate the players, David, again, because I want to make this clear. I'm not letting the players off the hook here, because, again, they had a 2-0 lead, and, again, they're out there. They're doing the work, so they have to take responsibility. My only point in this is that everyone needs to take responsibility. Everyone's to blame, and everyone needs to fix it together. But the person who's in charge really needs to be fixing the problems. Again, the players are told what's going on, and then they need to fix the problems. But that comes from leadership, and that comes from the manager and the coaching staff. So they need to analyze what's wrong, and they need to fix it, and then the players have to execute that and fix the problems. It's a team effort. So don't think that I'm letting the players off the hook, because I'm certainly not, because they are responsible as much as Kit is, except that Kit's in charge, so it's really up to him to fix it. It's a team thing. But I just wish Kit would take personal responsibility for his part in this. That's what I wish, David. Yeah.
I wish Mr. Khan would take responsibility, because if they're going to do anything, they need to do it now. They need to act now. We've got the maximum time now to the next match because of the international break. So if they are going to make a change, and I'm sure they're probably not, they're too cautious, but if they were going to make a change, it's got to be done now and done quickly.
Okay, very good, David. Listen, we're running out of time, and I know that you got to drop off in a few minutes. So why don't you do this? Why don't you rate the players fairly quickly, and then you can drop off and come back on?
Okay. Lonergan didn't really have a lot to do. A couple of corners he was a bit flappy on. Made a couple of reasonable saves, comfortable saves, but 6 out of 10 for me. Richards, I thought he was poor for a lot of the game. He got beaten too easily a couple of times. People got behind him. Turns back too much, doesn't go forward enough. Had a good shot in the first half, but in the last 10-15 minutes thought he did really well, was brave. So I'm going to give him 6 as well, sort of making up for what I thought was a poor first half. Same for Stearman and Ream. I'm going to give them 6 each as well, because I hold them somewhere accountable for as giving away goals. You know, in that area, they are the central defenders. Their job is to head the ball away. I'm not sure who to blame exactly. They had been doing pretty well, but obviously both goals came from that kind of region. So 6 out of 10 for them. Same for Husband as well, really, because I think I'd like to see them close down that cross better at the end that they scored from. But otherwise, I thought he'd been quite useful getting forward, but not at his best, but I thought reasonable. But as I say, the cross came from the left-back position, so I'm not very happy with that, really. Christensen, we saw flashes of what he can do, but he's still a long way off his best. Silly booking, really, to get. Very silly booking, one like that. I'm going to give him 5.5. Tunnicliffe, I thought, in the main, he did really well. Obviously, got his first goal for us, set up Ross for the second goal. So 7 for me for Tunnicliffe. Reasonable performance by him. O'Hara pulled all the strings again from midfield. You know, if only we had, you know, the right runs sometimes around him and better players supporting him from the back so we don't give away stupid goals. Could be so much better. 8 out of 10 for me, and he's my man of the match there.
He's your man of the match, okay.
Yeah, Pringle, a quiet game really again for Pringle. Involved in and out of the game a bit, you know, showed what he can do, but sometimes he's still a bit lightweight for me, but I'm going to give him 6 out of 10. McCormack, I'm going to give him 7. At times he was very dangerous, but not enough of the times, but again, taking the goal well, and obviously a good free kick for the other goal, so can't be too harsh on him. And also 7 for Musa. I thought he looked very dangerous at times, and just with a little bit more luck, we could have seen him on the score sheet today. Not going to rate any of the substitutes. I'll drop off, really, and I'll be back in a sec.
Okay, David. All right. And while you do that, I'm going to read what the Fulham supporters had to say. I have 2 comments for man of the match. I put up kind of late, so that's probably why I only have 2 comments. But let's start with Billy Robert. He has a very interesting comment. He says, man who threw the match, Mr. Simons. Ridiculous substitutions. The sooner he goes, the better. That's from Billy Robert. And then my friend Nate up in Canada, he said, O'Hara, for me, he is class and bosses the midfield. I have to agree with Billy, though. Kid has all his players, but the same mistakes keep happening. That's on him. We need a man who can organize the defense. Sorry for the rant, but I'm beyond frustrated. Nate, I'm there with you, my friend. I'm there. I'm as frustrated as you are, and he needs to fix the problems. They are definitely not a disciplined side, and he needs to work on the discipline. They need to be able to handle all the situations that come up in a match and not give up these late goals, not give up all these goals on set pieces. I agree with you. Kit needs a lot of work, and he needs to fix the problems. It starts with him. It's a team thing. But it definitely starts with Kip because he's in charge. All right, David. Again, you are back, so you just probably heard that. I'm going to give man of the match to Jamie O'Hara as well. It's funny, the team on the website had either Tunnicliffe, McCormack, or Jamie O'Hara. Did they get the 3 right?
Those 3, I gave them 7 out of 10, so I think certainly they were all contenders. Maybe Musa as well. A bit unlucky not to be on that, but I think O'Hara was clearly better than the other two, and I'd be very surprised if it goes any other way, especially as many people will have watched it on Sky, and
yep,
Sky awarded him the man of the match. I think it's going to be O'Hara again, hands down, on this one.
I totally agree. And, again, you can vote on the Fulham website. They've been putting up man of the match for each match. I'm glad that they're doing that, and your 3 choices are Ross McCormack, Ryan Tunnicliffe, and Jamie O'Hara. David and I both vote for Jamie O'Hara as our man of the match. But you can choose whoever you want, but I totally think it was Jamie O'Hara. I thought he was fantastic in this match. All right, David, we only have 5 minutes left. You know what we got to do now? It's time to rate Kit.
Upset Ben Reed time, isn't it, I guess?
I guess so,
but
yeah.
The thing is, I don't want to just give him a 0 because I'm annoyed, because that would just be, you know, being a petulant kid like I was earlier when I was rude to our dinner guest. So, you know, I I think obviously there has Kit has to get something, but I'm not sure quite what. I mean, Yanis summed it up. He sent a direct message which said that was a load of horseshit, and that kind of that is a typical response from Yanis, I think. But I don't know if I can give him much credit for picking the team, because he's picked an obvious team. The only debating point was maybe whether Jazz Richards should have been in there or Fredericks. You know, I mean, I suppose you could have put Fredericks in at right midfield ahead of Richards, you know, rather than LVC if he wanted to be a bit more attacking. I wouldn't have mind seeing that, actually. But you can't sort of quibble too much about the overall lineup. But for me, Kit has thrown the game away with some very strange substitutions. And so this is where, you know, he's losing marks for me. And I'm finding it hard to think, well, this was almost the ultimate in throwing a game away. It was very, very close to losing the game. It could have, you know, another 5 minutes, we could have lost that game easily the way things were going. And I, although the players were the ones out there on the pitch not doing their jobs, I think they were unsettled by the substitutions. I really do. For me,
okay,
it's just, especially after, you know, after the Garber one and moreover after the bringing off Dembele, I thought that unsettled it. So, for me, I don't know. I'm going to give Kit 3 out of 10 because I think he did the very basics right, but then he did his best to sort of destroy it.
Okay, very good, David. And listen, we only have 3 minutes left. I want to ask you a question because I'm thinking about this while we're going through the show. You were talking about the substitutions. I want to ask you about obviously giving up the goals and the problems defensively Fulham are having, especially late in matches. How would you fix it?
Well, if it's down to the manager like we think, then it's change the manager. If it's down to the fact they're not fit enough, then get them fitter. You know, is it a physical thing? Get a psychologist in. Is it a mental thing? You know, you've got to identify where the root cause of the problem is. You know, you can have this winning mentality or the losing mentality. You know, you have this kind of let one goal in and then let more in mentality, and that's a psychological thing. So,
sure,
they need to get to any scientific answer they need, whether it's changing the manager, whether it's getting them fitter, whether it's practicing defending, whether it's getting in a psychologist to kind of hypnotize them into kind of, you know, not making stupid mistakes and giving up or whatever it is. You know, I've seen all of these kind of things used in football before, so it's try everything and see what works, I guess.
Okay, very good. And I'll make you the manager. What would you do to fix it? What would you personally do?
I'll resign, I think.
Okay.
For me as a manager, I would get in a sports psychologist in, I think, firstly, to sort of make sure mentally the team is strong.
Okay.
And make sure they're physically fit enough as well.
And train them on the basics, I'm assuming, too.
Yeah, so start at the basics and then, you know, get to more specific tasks.
Okay. Okay, very good, David. We only have 90 seconds. I hope this helped, my friend. You know, again, I apologize to everyone if I was being very boisterous today, but I'm very angry. Angry is a strong word. I'm just very disappointed. I'm disappointed by this opportunity lost. 2 points dropped, David. It really was. And Fulham Football Club has much to think about over this international break, because if they keep up doing what they're doing, they're just going to be an average team. I think we all want better. They want better than that. They have to fix the problems. They have to diagnose what they are, and they need to fix them. And there are problems there, my friend. There are problems. They need to fix them. All right, David. Great show, my friend. Very good show. I hope you enjoyed it. But it is time to go. Final thought, real quick, 10 seconds.
I'm going downstairs to apologize to my son's friend.
That's the best news I've heard all day. Good man. That's a good man. All right. No, seriously, I said that during the show. You need to do that. All right. For David Hawley, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk Extra Time. Cheers, David. Have a good night.
And you too, Russ. Cheers. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Cheers.
To the faraway town, now war is declared, and battle comes. Boys and girls.